Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, I pray that you will be with me this afternoon and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Please use my mouth to speak your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a little girl who would walk to school every day because her school wasn't that far away. But on this particular day, it was a little overcast. There were some clouds, and it looked like that maybe by the end of the day, a storm might come. As the day progressed and she was in school, a storm did start to form, and there was thunder and lightning going on outside. And her mother became concerned, knowing that the girl would be walking home from school and that she might be frightened by the storm. So the girl left school and started to walk home, and the storm got worse, and lightning would strike quite often at this point. So the mother decided she was going to go find her daughter and drive the route that she walked to school. So she started to drive the route, and she saw her daughter, but every once in a while, she'd stop and look up at the sky. So the mother rolled down her window and called out to her daughter and said, "Why do you keep stopping? And the little girl said, "Well, when the lightning flashes, I look up in the sky and smile because God's taking my picture." You know, there's a joy we find in things as children that we tend to lose as we grow older. Some people speculate as to why that may be, but the truth is it happens. And it shouldn't be that way, especially for those of us who believe in God. Would you please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? And we'll be looking in verse 16. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, "Rejoice always." This passage of scripture here, I think I have, Paul has given us some words to live by. And we should rejoice in everything. But sometimes that's a hard thing to do because of all the problems we have and all the trials we face in our lives. My freshman year of high school, I went on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic, and while we were there, we helped build a school. But on Sabbath, the second Sabbath we were there, right before we left, we went to a small village, and we toured around, spent some time with them, spent the Sabbath with them, and their village looked a lot like some of the pictures you were shown for the children's story today. The people didn't have much. A lot of the kids didn't have shoes, or some of them not even hardly any clothing. And at the end of our time there, we had brought some things with us to give to the people. Some clothes and toothbrushes, toothpaste, that kind of thing. And as we were handing the things out, we started handing them out, but as we were handing things out, we started to notice more and more people were coming out of the houses, and eventually we had to move into the bus and hand things out the window because there were so many people crowding us for these things we were giving to them. I mean, there was people rushing at us for things like dental floss. And I don't know how many of you would run at someone and tackle them to get dental floss from them, but I know I wouldn't. I don't get that excited about those kinds of things. But these people, they didn't have a lot in their lives, but yet they still found joy, and they were got excited about the little things. Now, you may be thinking that it's easy to say, but it's kind of hard to do. You know, when we lose people that are close to us in our lives, it's kind of hard to rejoice in those times. It's hard to rejoice if we don't have a job and we aren't sure how we're going to pay for our next meal. But God has given us a reason to rejoice. He sent his son down here to die for us so that we may have life. And we should rejoice in the fact that even though things on this earth may cause trouble and we may have reasons to be sad and to be downcast, but God has given us a reason to rejoice. If we continue looking at this passage, in verse 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." A lot of people have a hard time with that verse, wondering maybe what it means there. There's a monk who talked about praying without ceasing, and he would spend all day working, praying while he worked. And as he worked, he made about 13 cents for that day. And 2 of those cents he would set outside the door. And the other 11 cents he would use to buy his meal. And while he was eating and sleeping, those 2 cents that were left outside paid someone to pray while he was eating and sleeping. But is that really how we're supposed to interpret what this is saying here? I am currently dating Allie, and we've been dating for about 3 years now. But when we first started dating, we didn't get to spend that much time together because we weren't in the same place. For the first 2 years of our relationship, it was completely long distance. Now, during that time, to be dating one another, I couldn't call her up once a week and say, "Hey, we're still dating, right?" "Yeah, we are." "Okay, talk to you next week." That's not really how it works. In order to have a relationship with someone, you have to be in constant communication with them. Otherwise, how are you supposed to know that person? How are you going to be able to be connected to that person? But yet, it's not necessarily nonstop. And some of us say, "Well, yeah, that sounds nice, but I can't really be praying all the time." Well, some of you don't have a problem texting without ceasing, or working without ceasing, but yet we have issues praying without ceasing. When I was about 12 years old, my mom told my brother and I, she said, "Seth and David, you know what? You're probably going to get married someday." I said, "No, Mom, we aren't going to get married. We don't want to have a girlfriend or anything like that." And she said, "Actually, I know that you are. And ever since you were born, I've been praying every day for the woman that you might marry eventually." I would suggest that my mom was praying without ceasing, praying each and every day so that the person who we might spend the rest of our lives with would be a person that God wanted us to be with. If you look at Jesus' prayer life, he should be our example. Yet, he didn't spend all of his time sitting or kneeling with his hands folded and his eyes closed praying to God. He spent his time ministering to people, teaching his disciples. Now, there were times where he stepped aside, went up to the mountain, was alone, and prayed to his Father and had communication with him. But even though he didn't spend all his time on his knees praying, he still had communication with his Father. His mind was focused on him and was connected to him. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean we need to spend the rest of our life on our knees. But we can go when we go throughout our day, we need to be focused on God. That's where our focus needs to be. And we don't have to pray. We don't have to pray out loud. We can pray in our thoughts. You know, sometimes when we think about praying, we think about speaking to God like room service. When you stay in a hotel, they have room service available. I've never used it because, well, I'm a college student and I don't have any money, but some of you might have. And room service is kind of nice because you can just pick up the phone and they'll bring you whatever you want to eat. Maybe you have some clothes you want washed and they'll take care of that for you. You can call them and they'll do anything for a price. And sometimes we think of praying to God like room service. We talk to him when we need something. But it should be more than that. It should be communicating to him as a friend, as someone we love, and worship to him, just to tell him what's going on, and sometimes even just to listen. But we can do that throughout the whole day by just having our thoughts being focused on him. Now, the next verse in this passage, in verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, sometimes there are some things that are hard to be thankful for. Corrie Ten Boom, in her book, The Hiding Place, tells a story of when her sister Betty and her were in a Nazi camp during the Holocaust. And they were transferred into these barracks that were completely overcrowded, flea-infested, pretty much the dirtiest place you can imagine. And as her sister and her sat down in their new barracks to study the Bible, this verse is the one they read. In everything, give thanks. So her sister Betty said to Corey, she said, Corey, we need to pray right now and thank God for everything that is in here. And Corey said, no way. I'm not thanking God for fleas. But Betty convinced her to kneel down and find some way to thank God for everything, including the fleas. Well, as time went on, they found that they were able to hold Bible studies openly in the barracks without any trouble from the soldiers. And later they realized that they were able to do this because the soldiers refused to enter these barracks because of the fleas. Amen. Sometimes we have things in our lives that it's hard to be thankful for, that we think we shouldn't be thankful for. But maybe God can use those things it's hard to be thankful for something good. There was a man walking in a crowded city, lots of traffic going by, and he heard someone singing, singing loud and joyously above all the noise. So he looked for this man, and he found the man in a wheelchair without any legs, singing and praising for the things that he had. And he asked this man, you know, seeing someone in your condition, it helps lift the rest of us up. And the man in the wheelchair said, well, you know, when I stopped being upset about the things I didn't have, it was easy to be thankful for the things I had. Not all of us have a lot of things in this life, but there is something that God has given us, and that is the opportunity for eternal life. There was a man in India, a servant, who every day would walk to retrieve water in two pots that he carried on his shoulders and then walk back with them to the house. One of these pots was whole and perfect, and the other one had a crack in it. And the perfect pot felt very good about itself because it could complete its purpose by returning with a full pot of water each day. But the pot with a crack in it, it didn't feel a lot of worth because it couldn't complete its purpose. Every time it returned to the house, it only was half full. And one day, as the servant was walking carrying these pots of water, carrying the pots to the water, the crack pot said to the servant, he said, I'm sorry that I cannot complete the task that is given to me. And the servant, feeling sorry for the crack pot, told it as he walked back with the water that day, to notice the flowers along the side of the path. And so the pot looked down as they were walking back to the master's house and noticed the beautiful wildflowers growing on the path. And it made it feel a little bit better, but still it felt bad not being able to complete what it had been created to do. And so when they returned to the house, the pot said, I'm sorry that I did not come back with a full pot of water. And the servant said, did you notice that the flowers only grew on your side of the path and not the others? And the pot said, well, no, I didn't really notice that. And the servant said to the cracked pot, I've noticed that you are cracked and you have this flaw. So I decided to take advantage of it. And I planted flower seeds along the side of the path. And each day as we walk back, as the water leaks from your crack, it waters the flowers along the path. And then I cut those flowers and I'm able to place them at the master's table. We have some things in our lives, some flaws that we aren't thankful for, and we feel that we aren't complete and we can't do everything that everyone else can do. But if we give thanks for those things and give those things to God, then he can use those flaws for positive things and to do the work that he has called us to do. The next verse in this passage, verse 19, says, do not quench the spirit. Quench in this case is referring to fire. The Holy Spirit, many times, the symbol for the Holy Spirit is a fire. And Paul says not to quench the spirit, not to put out the spirit's fire. My dad is a pastor, but he hasn't always been a pastor. He's actually a second career pastor. Because in high school, he felt called to the ministry, and he talked to many people that he cared about and he looked up to about this call, and they discouraged him from going into the ministry, telling him things like, you can serve God in many other ways. You don't have to be a pastor to serve God. You should do something else. So he didn't. And he did other things in the business world, but He was working at a computer company in Colorado doing computer sales. And he was the second to the top salesman in that company. And he talked to the lady who was the top salesman. And he said, "How can I be the best salesman in this company?" She says, "Well, this is the very most important thing to me. I do everything that I can so to make sure that I make the most sales every month." And he realized that that's not what he wanted his focus to be, not to be making the most money. And so he turned back to what God had called him to do in the first place, and he returned to the ministry, and he has since been a pastor. But when he first had that call, there were some people around him who quenched what the Spirit was calling him to do. If they hadn't done that, my dad could have been a pastor for a lot more time and ministered to a lot more people. But the Spirit was quenched in his life at that point in time. And a lot of times, we do this to those who are younger because we feel that they don't have what it takes to do what they think they can do. And we saw this past month what the eighth graders did up here for God. You know, they wanted to serve him, and we allowed them to do that. The Spirit was not quenched, and good things happened because of it. I work in campus ministries over at Union, and Pastor Rich has a motto. When someone comes to him with an idea, something that they want to do in ministry, he says, if it's not immoral, unethical, or illegal, why not? Whether it's been tried before and failed or not, he says, why not? Because God has called us to do something, each and every one of us, he's called us to do something different. And if we get in the way of someone else doing what God has called them to do, we're quenching the Holy Spirit and we're not allowing him to work. In verse 20, it says, do not despise prophetic utterances. This is something we struggle with today, which is interesting because in the Bible, we are given lots of prophecy. Specifically in Daniel and Revelation, there's lots of things that our church holds on to look forward to the future. But yet, we have a hard time believing that people can truly prophesy for God. Ellen White, who is a founder of our church, had a lot of things to say, prophecy that God had shown her. And we wouldn't be where we are today without the prophecy that she has given us. And this is something that today is hard to discern as to whether someone is truly prophesying something that has been given to them from God or not. But Paul here says, do not despise prophetic utterances. So I'd encourage you as you're going throughout your life, when something is brought to you that you may think, well, yeah, they're saying that's from God, but how do I know? Look at it again, because God may be speaking something to you. And the next verse speaks to that when it says in verse 21, but examine everything carefully. Especially as the world moves on, there's a lot of deception out there. And things are both good and bad are brought to us, and a lot of times it's hard to determine the difference between the two. I like fish. Not eating fish, mind you, but keeping fish is a hobby. I actually like all kinds of animals. But along with that, I like learning about them, studying them, getting advice on how to take care of them, and that kind of thing. And in this day and age with the internet, a lot of hobbies have people who not only do those things, but they like to talk to other people about it. And a method in which people do that is a forum. You can go on there and ask all kinds of questions like, you know, what if my fish has white spots on it? What do I do? And that kind of thing. But you'll find that people will offer all kinds of different advice. Sometimes it's good advice and sometimes it's bad advice. But how do you know the difference? We can't just take everything at face value. We need to examine things for ourselves. Just like today, I don't want you to take what I say at face value necessarily. Well, I want you to take it at face value, but I don't want you to just take what I say and decide, oh, well, he said it, so that's what I should do. But in everything, you should examine it, and examine it against God's word. Because he has given us his word to guide us. And if we don't use that, then we can be led astray. And the next part of this passage, continuing in verse 21, says, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. There are a lot of things that God has given us, which are good things. And Satan has taken a lot of these things and twisted them to become evil things. But if we hold on to what is good, then it's easier to keep from doing what is evil. If we're focused on the good things that God has given us, then we won't want to do those evil things. You know, and another word that can be used there instead of from every thing that's evil, but from every appearance of evil. Deep inside of us, we all have a sense for things. Sometimes when you're younger, your friend would approach you and ask you to do something. Hey, let's go sneak into the teacher's office and take some candy from her bowl, because I know she keeps candy in there. But you get the sense, a feeling that that's not necessarily what you should be doing. But you have this other feeling of wanting the candy, possibly. And so you decide to go along with your friend and take the candy. And then you get another feeling of guilt because you've done something wrong. God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us know what is good and what is evil. But sometimes it can be hard to tell. And that's why he's given us his word as well, so that we can focus on what is good and know what is evil. In high school, actually even before high school, but when I listen to music, I choose to listen to Christian music. And a lot of my friends in high school are like, well, why don't you listen to, the popular music, all the cool stuff? And the reason I would always give them is because music has a lot of influence on you. And when I listen to Christian music, I have a positive attitude, and I think of positive things. And when I'm listening to other kinds of music, I don't always have that positive attitude, because that's not what I'm thinking about, what I'm focusing on. And I'm not saying that other kinds of music are bad, but what I am saying is that if we focus on things that are good, then we are able to discern what those evil things are. But why is it important to do all these things? Why should we rejoice in everything? Why should we pray without ceasing? Why should we give thanks? Why is it important not to quench the spirit? God has given us a gift. He sent his son down here to die for us, to give us eternal life, so that we can rejoice in the good things, and even when things aren't so good. He gave us that gift and has offered to have a relationship with us, to love us. And we should continue to pray and be connected to him so that we can share in that love he has offered to us. We should give him thanks for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Because if we aren't, then we're just taking those things for granted. And we shouldn't quench the spirit, because God has sent the spirit down here to guide us. We are on this world full of sin. He sent his son down here to give us a way out. And the spirit is here to guide us, to show us that way. It's hard sometimes to do all these things. But Paul has given us these things, these words to live by, so that we can navigate through the things of this world, so that we can focus on the good things and abstain from the evil. And I encourage you, when you're wondering maybe if things aren't feeling right, you're wondering if you're not living the way you should, to take a look at God's word. Look at these words to live by so that he can guide you and show you how you should live in this life. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the love that you have shown us, for the guidance you give us and the sacrifice that you made so that we can be with you one day. Lord, I pray that we will focus on you and that we will be thankful for the things that you have done for us, Lord. You have done so much. Help us when we are confused and wondering how to get through the things of this life, that we will look to you and to your word so that you can show us how to live. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.